Apologize for that, but please try to make note for the upcoming nights to try to come a little bit earlier. Sheikh Muhammad Al-Hilli is an internationally renowned Islamic speaker and researcher who has delivered hundreds of lectures on various themes such as morality, spirituality, and Quranic sciences. At a young age, he moved with his family to Iran, where he spent most of his childhood, and later on his family relocated to the United Kingdom towards the end of the 1980s. He completed his secondary and higher education in London, graduating with a master's degree in pharmacy from the University of London. At the same time, he undertook private studies with several respected scholars in Islamic studies and completed his Hawza degree from the International College for Islamic Sciences under the supervision of Ayatollah Fadhil Milani. He is continuing to pursue his higher Islamic studies known as Bahth-e Kharij. This short introduction does not do justice to all the services that Sheikh Ali has provided, and inshallah we hope to benefit from him immensely during these next 10 days. I'd request to invite Sheikh Hilli to the member, and I'd like to request you all to welcome him with the loudest of your salawat. And if I could have the brothers please move forward.
أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق وخاتم الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين نبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المطهرين المكرمين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من أول يوم ظلمهم إلى قيام يوم الدين السلام عليك سيدي ومولاي يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم وهو أحسن القائلين وأصدق الصادقين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يريدون ليطفئوا نور الله بأفواههم والله متم نوره ولو كره الكافرون هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون آمنا بالله صدق الله العلي العظيم for the purification of the souls and the enlightenment of the hearts and for the hastening of the reappearance of the awaited Savior عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف enlighten your souls and the atmosphere with the recitation of salawat upon Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Respected elders, brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Is the second largest religion followed around the world today. And approximately 20 to 25% of the world population adhere to its teachings. More than 165 countries have a sizable number of the people of this religion, and over 46 have the majority population. The religion, of course, is the religion of Islam, and it is predicted that in 2055, over 50% of the world's population will become Muslim. It all started 1,400 years ago, and it all began with one man, the Holy Prophet of Islam, Al-Rasul al-A'zam Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The character and the personality of the Holy Prophet of Islam, peace and blessings be upon him and his holy progeny, is indeed revered, respected, and followed by millions across the world today. He is deemed to be a role model and an exemplary individual for many when it comes to leading their lives and attaining the goal of this existence. The remembrance of the Holy Prophet, of course, takes a number of shapes and forms. Today, more than 1.6 billion individuals recognize that as Muslims, they need to mention the name Muhammad 9 times per day as far as an obligation is concerned. In other words, you will not find a human being today and in history who has been mentioned on a regular basis and every single day by such a large number of people for at least 9 times. And when we say 9 times, we refer to the obligatory prayers whereby the Muslims mention the name of the Holy Prophet like Rasulullah. Yet at the same time, year 2002 will be remembered for a controversy that rocked the Muslim world and caused more than 75 human beings and their lives to be lost, including the American ambassador in Libya. The controversy is regarding the release of a film known as The Innocence of Muslims, a film released on YouTube in July this year. The film, which has indeed caused the outrage and demonstrations around the Muslim world, was produced by one individual by the fake name of Sam Basil or Nabukala, who was arrested and finally 2 weeks ago sentenced to 1 year imprisonment for breach of the probation rules and regulations here in the United States. Yet the film itself injured the feelings and became very much a source of discomfort and anger by the Muslims from around the globe. The film itself, only 14 minutes of it were produced or shown on YouTube, yet the entire film was shown in June this year to how many people? 10 individuals in a studio, in a theater which was rented in California, watched the film Innocence of Muslims. And at the same time, the controversy became many times fold in September, where the film was dubbed into the Arabic language and publicized by a Salafi TV channel in Egypt, which caused it to go viral around the internet. People went out on the streets from Indonesia to Pakistan, from the United Kingdom to Australia, from different parts of the world. Hundreds and sometimes thousands of Muslims displayed their anger throughout the streets in order to show that this film indeed was blasphemous, depicting the Holy Prophet of Islam in such an unacceptable manner. Yet the film, of course, caused some violence. Violence that you and I are the first to reject in all shapes and forms. In other words, at the same time that we encourage people to express their opinions about such productions in the West, such ideas that have come forward in the name of freedom of speech, and despite many countries pressurizing Google and YouTube to ban the clips, we find today that this has happened in only a certain number of countries. For instance, in Saudi Arabia, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, the clips from YouTube have been removed. Yet in the rest of the world, they are still accessible. When the United States government instructed or gave a particular request to YouTube in order to remove this particular clip, the response was the following. The response was that this clip does not incite hatred. Why? Because this clip talks about what? It talks about the religion of Islam and does not talk about Muslims, and therefore it should be kept. The idea therefore emerges that the film Innocence of Muslims caused this type of violence by certain groups of Muslims around the world, one that is indeed condemned. At the same time, we are under this idea that many people come forward and ask this question, why such a problem with such a film? Isn't there a right for freedom of expression? Shouldn't people have the opportunity to come forward and to produce documentaries and films, albeit a cheap one like this, clearly produced to incite Muslims and to anger them and to bring the worst from them? People come forward, especially the non-Muslims, and fail to understand why Muslims have reacted so angrily about this production, about this film known as The Innocence of Muslims. The answer to it, of course, is quite simple. Many non-Muslims do not recognize an important reality that exists when it comes to the religion of Islam, and especially about holy personalities. Today, somebody could produce a film about myself or about any other human being. But when it comes to depicting the holy prophet of Islam, when it comes to depicting the holy personalities in the history of Islam, Muslims come forward and say the following, that the area has crossed the red line. Why? Because you and I are under this belief that the holy prophet of Islam is more sacred and in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holy, and in our eyes respected to the extent more than ourselves and our family members. The idea emerges, therefore, that the Prophet of Islam is not just a human being, but a symbol who is a manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bounties, His exalted names, and His mercy. And therefore, He occupies a prominent position. And when it comes to His depiction, this goes outside the area of freedom of speech, and indeed enters religious hatred, bigotry, and at the same time, insult. The film Innocence of Muslims required Muslims to think about a number of points. True, we need to demonstrate, yet the question that arises here is, how did we react when it comes to this particular film? Is it just sufficient for us to react in the way the Muslims reacted? Because you saw a few weeks after YouTube posted this particular, or one of the people posted this video on YouTube, what happened was that a French magazine reproduced cartoons mocking the personality of Rasulullah in order for them to incite the Muslims further. The question that you and I should be asking is, does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak about this in the Quran? Has this happened before? Has Rasulullah been insulted in the history of Islam before? You go to the Holy Quran, and this is the problem. Many of us do not go back to the Holy Book. I tell you, where do we go back to? Normally, if we have a question or we have a query, we go to Google. We type it on Google, don't we? This is the first area of call that many of us go to. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, look at the Quran. The Holy Prophet of Islam was hurt. He was insulted. He was named all kinds of different labels. He was a sorcerer, some people said. He was a magician. He was a madman. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says to the Holy Prophet, Inna kafaynaka al-mustahzi'een. The Quran says to the Prophet, we have defended you and will always defend you from the people who mock you, number one. Number two, Allah gives a promise in the Quran. What is this promise? وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. That Ya Rasulullah, despite the work and the efforts by your enemies throughout history to tarnish your name, to attack you, your name shall forever remain elevated and exalted and will be remembered, recalled, respected, and followed by more people as time goes on. This is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we find in the Holy Quran. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. Your dhikr, your remembrance should always, will always be elevated. And that's why we find that Abu Ali, Abu Sina, the famous philosopher, and Ya'arif and the mystic, one day, he was alongside one of his students. And his student said to him, "You are a great scholar. And today, if you were to announce that you are a prophet, I will follow you. Say you are a prophet, and I'll be the first of your followers." Abu Sina didn't say anything. Later on, they were staying together, and it was the winter. And it was the time for Fajr Namaz. They were both in the house. And as soon as the Mu'addin said, "Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah," the student of this philosopher, Abu Sina, rose from his sleep and he went outside to perform the wudu in the cold water. Now, had earlier on, Abu Sina had asked him and said to him, "Bring me some water in the night." The student had said, "It's too cold. I cannot go." Yet when the call for Adhan came, this individual did not hesitate for a moment. When he came back after performing the wudu, using the ice that he had to crush because it was so cold outside and they had no access to potable water, Abu Sina looked at him and says, "This is why no one like me can declare prophethood. Simply because when you heard the name Muhammadun Rasulullah, he has won and he has captured your heart to that extent that you did not hesitate to go out and to perform the wudu in your cold weather. Yet when I asked you, you gave a number of excuses." In other words, what? In other words, Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, indeed has captured, mesmerized the hearts and minds of human beings, especially the Muslims. And that's why Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that despite the efforts of the non-believers, we, Quran says, we have honored Rasulullah. The question is, how do we react to this film, Innocence of Muslims? Number one, we need to understand and reaffirm the position of Rasulullah in our aqidah, in our beliefs, and try to recollect and remind ourselves what the Quran says about the Holy Messenger. And that's why there's a call from this holy member in the beginning of the holy month of Ramadan that there should be at least one night, this particular commemoration of the tragedy of Ashura in the year 1434 across the world, there should be at least one night mentioned and dedicated in the majalis of Aba Abdullah for honoring the position and the maqam of Rasulullah. In order to reaffirm our understanding of the Holy Prophet and his fadilat and his position, and number two, to recognize that the mission of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn was indeed to reform the Ummah of Rasulullah and to ensure that the flag of the Holy Prophet would remain alive. And the fact today, one of the colleagues once said to one of the mu'mineen, "How is it that we have these ahadith that say that once you have performed your hajj and your wajib hajj is performed, then it is highly recommended to perform and to be on the plains of Karbala and perform the ziyarah of the shrine of Aba Abdullah on the day of Arafah. The reward is greater." Someone said to him, "How is that possible?" The response was, "This is because without Aba Abdullah, you will not find Hajj today. You will not be able to see the practice of the Hajj without the sacrifice of the grandson of Rasulullah. Therefore, as we all know, he is the savior of the religion of Islam. Therefore, let's remind ourselves about what the Quran says about the Holy Prophet. We are told that the remembrance of the Holy Prophet is indeed crucial. Yet there is one type of remembrance that supersedes all other remembrance. You see, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the Quran, he instructs you and I to perform a number of tasks. He says to us, perform the prayers. He commands us to fast.
he tells us to perform the pilgrimage and to give the Jews in Khums and Zakat. Yet there is one action, and one action alone, that Allah says, I will do before you. I want you to do it, but I will begin it, because it's so important. You go in chapter 33, verse number 56. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. You find this important acknowledgement and realization in the Quran that Allah Jalla wa Ala, our Creator, says that the salawat upon the Holy Prophet is so crucial and significant and pivotal in our lives that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala begins it before He tells us that we have to do it. There is a initiation, the Mufassireen say. Notice, that does not happen to anything else. And that's why when we come to understand it, many of us recite the salawat. And many of us recall the importance of salawat, something that we have documented in history. For instance, in the marriage of Prophet Adam and Hawa. When Adam alayhi salam saw his wife Eve, it is said for the first time when he came, he was about to touch her. Malaika said, no, before you touch her and the marriage begins, you have to give dowry. According to narrations from both Sunni and Shia sources, Adam alayhi salam said, what is the dowry for me to get married? The response was, you have to say salawat upon Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. At the same time, the Holy Prophet of Islam says, whomsoever cannot get rid of hypocrisy in his heart, he is having a problem with dichotomy and double standards in their conduct, then let him or her continuously practice the salawat upon me and my family, and Allah will remove the hypocrisy from their heart. At the same time, you find a narration that Shibli, who is Shibli? Some of you who have gone to Hajj, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you all the tawfiq to perform the pilgrimage to the sacred house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This man, Shibli, there's a narration from the Holy Fourth Imam. And Shibli narrates it. He himself here says that I had a friend who passed away. And I saw my friend in my dream. This friend, when he passed away, he was going through excruciating pain. He was sweating profusely. He was shaking violently. In my dream, I said to him, my friend, why were you shaking so violently and sweating? What has happened? He said, as soon as the Malakul Maut came to me to take my soul away, I felt this unbelievable pain. Due to what? Due to my actions. Due to the gunah, due to the sins. And this is known as Sakaratul Maut. He says, as soon as my soul was lifted, I saw the Holy Prophet. The Holy Prophet came next to me and he placed a ring on my right hand. As soon as he did this, I felt a breeze of coolness and I felt a great sense of ease and happiness. At the moment I asked the Malaika, I said, O Malaika, why did Rasulullah do this to me? The response to them, this man was, it is because one of your most common habits during your lifetime was to recite salawat upon Muhammad. Therefore, there is no doubt that the position of salawat occupies a crucial role when it comes to the teachings of the religion of Islam. Yet the question arises here, and that is, this salawat, what form does it take? Some people ask, because we see on satellite channels, and when you go to Hajj and other places, when the name of the Holy Prophet is mentioned, immediately the form of the salawat that is produced is not in accordance to how the followers of Ahl al-Bayt have been taught to utter it and recite it. If you were today to go to Imam al-Bukhari's Sahih in volume 1 and at the same time in volume 4, you also find this hadith narrated by Muslim in his Sahih, that the companions came to the Prophet and said to him, Ya Rasulallah, when this verse was revealed in chapter 33, verse number 56, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ They came and said, Ya Rasulallah, we know how to say salam upon you, but we do not know how to what? We do not know how to do the salawat upon you. Teach us, tell us, how do we do it? The response was that when it comes to my salawat, you should say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad, kama sallayta ala Ibrahim wa ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. In other words, the Prophet of Islam said that when it comes to the salawat, it must include my al. Here is a realization for you. You come to this particular verse. Chapter 33, verse 56. And you count the words of this verse. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ You count how many words this particular verse has, and you'll come to this reality and fact that this verse has 14 words. Has how many? 14 words. And nothing in the Quran comes by coincidence. Everything is meticulous in the Quran. Why 14 words? Because the Ahlul Bayt themselves say, أَوَّلُنَا مُحَمَّدْ أَوْسَطُنَا مُحَمَّدْ آخِرُنَا مُحَمَّدْ وَكُلُّنَا مُحَمَّدْ That the first of us is called Muhammad. The mid of us, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, is called Muhammad. The last of us is called Muhammad, the holy 12th Imam. Because we are all carrying the message of Muhammad. Why? The Ahlul Bayt therefore have to be included in this particular salawat, which the Holy Prophet said, anything without my Ahlul Bayt is referred to as the salat, which is incomplete, salatul batra. Salat, which does not reach, it does not fulfill its objective or reach its fruits and benefits. Therefore, I remember a discussion that took place between two scholars when it comes to this importance of the salawat. One of the scholars from outside the madhab of Ahlul Bayt said, in order for Muslims to come together in unity, one thing that the Shia of the Ahlul Bayt have been calling for generations. In order for this to be established, then there needs to be a common ground. And the scholar outside the madhab of Ahlul Bayt said, the common ground should be the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet. If we respect them, and revere them above any other group of people, then the Shias and the Sunnis can come together. The Shia scholar said, no problem. In order for this to happen, I have a proposal for you. He said, what's your proposal? He said, in salah, in prayers, when we are sitting in tashahud, we instead of saying, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad, something that all Muslims say and believe it to be obligatory in prayers, instead of saying this, we will say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ashabi Muhammad. In order for this to be raised, in order for the Sunnis and the Shias to come together, so that the position of the Sahaba is favored above everyone else. The scholar outside the school of Ahlul Bayt said, that's impossible. He said, why? He said, because if I do this, my salah will not be accepted. The Shia scholar said, then I will keep the al so that my salah is accepted in the eyes of Allah. I will keep the family of the Holy Prophet because through the family my prayers reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can you expect me to drop the family by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded me to mention them and to send the blessings upon them when it comes to my prayers and when it comes to their utterance and their remembrance? Yet the question that has to be asked at the same time is, what does this salawat actually mean? When you and I utter it, on a daily basis, something which is highly recommended and a lot of reward is attained. What does it signify? And what is the philosophy of it? The Quran gives us the answer. The Quran requires us to take verses and add them together in order to come to a conclusion. The Quran, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and the Holy Quran tells us the following. هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَلِّي عَلَيْكُمْ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ لِيُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ It is He, Allah, who sends the salawat upon whom? Upon the believers, so that they are taken from darkness into light. Light of what? Light of guidance. The light of hidayah. the light of virtue and perfection. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's salawat upon individuals, and please pay attention for the next few minutes because there is a philosophical discussion about salawat. So that next time when we mention the word salawat and when we utter the remembrance of the Holy Prophet and his Ahlul Bayt, we can have an appreciation of what does it actually mean. The Quran tells us that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala takes certain groups of people from darkness towards the light.
How? How does this happen?
The narration from the Ma'sumin alayhim salam, specifically from the Holy Prophet of Islam, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, himself says, "Man salla alayya salatan wahida," whomsoever performs one salawat upon me, sallallahu alayhi alf salatin fi alf saffin min al malaika, whomsoever utters one salawat, Allah will reciprocate the